Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
As Jesus continued to speak to the church at Thyatira, he encouraged them to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given them. What gifts has God given to us? Are we being responsible stewards of these gifts? Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 18 through 29.
When you and I stand before the Lord, our works are going to follow us. We're going to stand before the Lord alone. My wife's not going to be there. My son and my daughter, my grandchildren are not going to be there. You're not going to be there. I'm going to be there alone. You say, whoo, that kind of like sobers me up. Exactly. That's why it's in the Scripture. It isn't meant to sober us up. It's meant to inspire us, to stir us up, to live our lives in a way that bring glory to the Lord. We're going to stand before Him one day. We're going to give an account. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards of the grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Use the gifts God has given to you. Use the abilities God has given to you. Use the time and talents God has given to you to live for His glory. In 2 Timothy, we read in chapter 3, verse 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But then read on. Sometimes we just cut off at certain places. Read on. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, study the Scripture and learn from the Scripture not only what to believe, but learn how to behave. Learn how to follow me. One of the purposes of Christ redeeming us, Titus 2:14, is that He would purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Sometimes as Protestants, we hear good works and we get, I don't like to talk about that. You know, we have our Protestant mantra. You mention good works and we get all, bent out of shape. And of course, we quote our pet verses partially. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. But why? That for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We've been saved to serve. We've been saved to bring glory to the King. Now, God doesn't put these scriptures in here about accountability to scare us. Remember the one man in Luke chapter 19, the parable of the pounds? He stood before the Lord and he says, I was really scared when I heard this accountability thing. And so I did the best thing. I hid your gift under a napkin. He said, if you really feared me, you would have been motivated by what I said to go out and use the time and talents and resources that you had to glorify me. These exhortations throughout the Scripture about using the talents that God's given to us, being about good works, are to inspire us. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In other words, when we hear these passages about good works and accountability, they are to inspire us, they are cause us to think soberly, and they are to cause us to act in ways that bring the Lord the glory. We are to occupy until He comes. Remember, Jesus said, I ought to be about my Father's business. And you and I have been redeemed to be about our Father's business. Now again, when it comes to the subject of good works, we tend to worry about legalism or a legalistic spirit. You know, what is legalism? Legalism is basically a human being thinking that they are going to make it into the kingdom of God based on what they do. If I try hard enough, if I'm a good person, if I jump through my denomination's rituals or hoops, then I'm going to make it. Well, it didn't work for anybody yet in the scriptures. It didn't work for Nicodemus. It didn't work for the rich young ruler, and it will not work for you. That probably isn't a problem here. None of us think that if we work hard enough, we're going to get into the kingdom of God. But you know the danger for us? The danger isn't legalism. The danger is forgetting that we've been redeemed to live now completely for the Lord. The danger is falling asleep in the light. The danger is getting to a place where we're no longer stirred up to grow in grace, to grow in holiness. And instead of becoming more consumed with the things of the Lord, we find ourselves week after week getting cooler and cooler and cooler and cooler and further and further and further away from the Lord, all in the name of following Him. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's me today. But let me tell you something, beloved. According to the scriptures, right now counts forever. Don't let anybody tell you that what you do from the time you're saved until the time the Lord calls you or me home, don't let anybody tell you that what you do doesn't matter. It does. Every single thing matters. To what detail? Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says that when we stand before the Lord, every idle word that is spoken, we will give account thereof. Can you imagine? Now, once again, do you think that that's meant to frighten you? No, it's meant to sober you up. It's meant like, you know, you take a cup of cold water. It's meant to stir us up. It's meant to sober us up. It's meant to cause us to step back and say, hey, what am I doing? Who am I doing it for? Why am I doing these things? We should be thinking how we are living. We should be thinking how we are using our time and talents. You know, my wife and I were talking the other morning, having, you know, just talking together and just talking over these things. And she said, honey, it sounds to me like as I'm reading the scriptures that the Lord wants me to think about how I'm living. He wants me to think about how I'm using my time today. He wants me to think about how I'm using the talents and the resources that He's given to me. Is that right? I go, yep, you got it, honey. He wants us to be thinking about these things. You see, because we are no longer possessors. We're stewards. Everything that God gives us is on loan and now is to be used for Him and for His glory. Whether it be children, whether it be our vocation, whether it be our marital status, everything is now for Him and for His glory. We should be thinking, Lord, are you getting maximum glory out of this area of my life? Amen? We need to be thinking like redeemed people. We need to be thinking kingdom-wise. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's our prayer. In fact, as a church family, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, if we really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon, really believe it in our heart, we're going to be exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. That song that we sang, a passion for His name, that should become more passionate every week, not less passionate. If we really believe that Jesus is coming soon, and I certainly do, we should be exhorting one another to live our lives in such a way that bring glory to the Lord. You know why? Because one day we're going to stand before Him. Every person in this room is going to stand before the King of Glory. That's an awesome thing to think of. I really believe that it is the will of God that every person in a local congregation, and if you're visiting us, I'm saying this on behalf of your pastor this morning. I really believe that it is the will of God that every person in a local congregation be actively involved in that body. We all have work to do. Can you imagine if you came here this morning and your big toe on your right foot and your left thumb and your right ear decided to stay home? You would be one hurting person, wouldn't you? And wherever you call your home, I believe God wants you. I believe it is the will of God that you and I be actively involved in some way, shape, or form in that body. Exhorting one another, encouraging one another, seeking to reach out to win the lost to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is a we thing. Ministry is what we do in the name of the Lord and for His glory. But not just doing it, not just winding up this Christian machine, but doing it out of a love for the Lord, to glorify Him, to magnify Him. And praise God, there were those in Thyatira that were living that way. They weren't listening to the Jezebel spirit. They weren't being deceived by her. And Jesus says in verse 24, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." There were those in Thyatira that were faithful to Jesus Christ. They refused to listen to this false prophetess and their unbiblical, Christ-dishonoring doctrines. Interesting, as you follow the progression, the church at Smyrna was being assaulted by a synagogue of Satan. And then you move on to Pergamos, and it was being confronted by the throne of Satan. But in both of those cases, the attack of the enemy was coming from the world. Now, Satan is a liar, and Satan is a deceiver, but Satan is not stupid. Did you ever hear the old saying, if you can't beat him, join him? He figures, well, if I can't do great harm to Smyrna, if I can't do great harm to Pergamos, I know what I'll do. I'll learn some fluent Christianese, get myself a television or a radio or pulpit program, and start deceiving the people of God by twisting His truth and redefining words. Oh, just a little bit. This is what grace really means. It really means you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, with whoever you want. I mean, after all, you've got to make a living. You got to fit in. Is that contemporary or what? That's the voice of Jezebel. Here in Thyatira, the attack of the enemy was coming right from within the church itself. This woman, as is true of any self-proclaimed false prophet or teacher, promised to lead those who listen to her into the deep things of God, but Jesus rightly defines it as the deep things of Satan. Hey, when somebody comes up to you and says, well, I've got this doctrine, this will lead you into the deep things of God. Oh, beware. Every cult, every false religion prides itself on having the deep things of God, when they are in actuality the deep things of Satan. You know what the deep things of God are? You walking close to Jesus. The deep things of God are in this book. Jesus said in the book of Hebrews, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, all scripture points to me. Walking in the deep things of God is walking close to Jesus, walking in intimacy with Jesus, holding on to the Word of God, following Him passionately with all of your heart, serving Him with gladness. And He tells those in Thyatira that were doing that in verse 25, hold fast those things until I come. Oh, we live in a day of tolerance and liberalism, and in that kind of a climate, there are so many people that are listening to false doctrines, and it's always the fruit of individuals who are not going to hold on to the Word of God. Beloved, listen, my exhortation to you is hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to the teaching of Scripture. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. Make sure that what you hear lines up with Scripture. Not some Scripture, not parts of Scripture, not Scripture taken out of context. Make sure that what you hear lines up with all Scripture within the context of Scripture. Hold fast the form of sound words. When the Bible tells us to hold fast, it means don't let the truth that you've heard slip away. Don't let anybody take it away from you. Don't let it go out of your heart. Don't let it go out of your hands. Hide God's truth in your heart. There's a simplicity in following Christ. Yes, there are deep mysteries. But Paul was concerned that the church in Thessalonica would go astray from that chaste virgin relationship with Christ to some novel doctrines. Oh, there's a simplicity about following Jesus Christ. And yet there's a depth, there's a beauty about following Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Hold fast to Jesus. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Holding fast to Christ, holding fast to His truth. And now notice the promises in verses 26 through 28 that the Lord gives to those who hold fast to the testimony of Jesus Christ. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. My, oh my, can you imagine sitting in Thessalonica and the Son of God says through that angel, that bishop, or that pastor, that if you hold on to your faith in me, if you continue on in me to the end of your life, I will give you power over the nations, and you will rule them with a rod of iron, even as I received from my Father. Is that inspiration or what? The imagery there is taken back to Psalm 2 that refers to the millennial kingdom in which you and I are going to rule and reign with the Lord. That's inspiration. That's motivation. The Lord says, hold fast to me. The Lord says, as you are doing whatever you're doing for me and for my glory, don't think that I don't see it. Don't think that I don't recognize it. Don't think that I can be fooled, because one day when I set up my kingdom, you who overcome are going to rule and reign with me on this earth. That is motivation. It is, isn't it? The King of Glory says, when I set up my kingdom for those who have been faithful, for those who overcome, for those who do whatever they do for me, for my glory, for my namesake, when I return, when I set up my kingdom, you are going to be right there with me. Don't listen to the Jezebels. Don't listen to those who would distract you from that simple obedience to Jesus Christ. Don't be sidetracked by all of these isms and those kinds of things that we can be so distracted by. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your focus on me. Keep your heart pure. Keep your life pure. Follow me. Serve me. Worship me. Adore me. And one day, when I set up my kingdom, well, the parable of the pounds. He that was faithful with five, few things, he was given five more things. Rather than being paralyzed by fear and saying, oh, I better not do anything, it's meant to inspire you and I to be about our Father's business, to get out there, to make a difference for Jesus Christ and for His glory. Oh, I can't wait for the Lord to come and set up His kingdom. That motivates me to want to serve Him with a greater desire today than when I walked in this building this morning. Because I know that one day we're going to stand before Him, and then we're going to rule and reign with Him on this earth. Praise God for that. And when Jesus says, I will give Him the morning star, there's a lot of commentators and commentaries that tell us what it is. But Jesus said in Revelation 22:16 that He Himself is the morning star. He's the reward. There's a song that we sing, Jesus, You Are My Reward. He is the reward. And here's how I see this. As we are motivated by the Lord to serve Him, to walk in holiness, the Bible tells us that we will be given various crowns. We learned about that. But it's not like we're going to have these little cubicles. The Raymond Viola cubicle. Well, I'm going to have my assortment of crowns, or maybe like half of a crown. And then we're going to be given this heavenly pledge where everybody that goes to heaven, we shine it. No, because we know that when we see the Lord, when we stand before the Lord, the King of Glory, the Almighty One, when He does give us those crowns, what do? We take them off and we lay them at His feet and we say, Lord, to You be glory and honor, because I could not do what I was able to do if it wasn't for You. It's all about Jesus. He says, I will be your reward. I will be the one throughout all eternity that you will gaze upon and that you will continue to worship. That is inspiration to walk today in a way that is pleasing to him. And then Jesus says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, pay attention. Pay attention to what the Lord is saying. And that teaches me that either my ears are opened to the things of the Spirit of God or they are closed. But I believe with all of my heart that when I open my Bible, when I listen to my radio, when I go to a church service, I believe with all of my heart, if I go with a heart that intends to worship the Lord, that intends to hear from the Lord, I will always walk away from that service receiving something from the Lord. Always. I never go away empty. I never go away hungry. Somebody goes, oh, I just didn't get anything. Did you pray? Yeah. Bless me. Sometimes being blessed means getting convicted or being corrected or being instructed or being comforted or being reminded. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. And Jesus is still the same Lord over Koinonia that he was in Thyatira. He searches the reins. He searches the hearts. And so I want to close with this. One exhortation to our church family, and then one closing exhortation to those that may be here who have never been born again. In the chapter that speaks of standing before the judgment seat of Christ in Romans chapter 14, we are reminded of these words. Romans 14 verses 7 to 9, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why did Christ die on that cross? That he might be the Lord of our lives. That's why we are exhorted to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then for any that may be here today who have never turned to Christ for forgiveness of sin, please do not let the Spirit stir you up only to walk out of this building, quote unquote, non-responsive. Because when you hear the word of the Lord and reject listening to it, your response, your non-response is a response for which one day you will be held accountable. Let's never forget these words of Jesus. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our dear family, may we remember those words of Jesus. May he always be, as it says in Matthew 6:24, our master exclusively. And if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, God in his grace is calling you to come unto Christ. And the old choice that we read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 and Joshua chapter 24 verse 15, the old choice is still the new choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I encourage you, choose Christ. For to live is Christ. And only when you can say to live is Christ can you say to die is gain. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study his Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.